Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Sorry, LeBron. It's not Taco Tuesday. This week, it's Turkey Tuesday. Turn up. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogunleke and Michael Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Yes, finally got the approval.
I'm sorry. What?
We are presented by Progressive
Insurance. Turkey Tuesday?
Turkey Tuesday. Tap in to the spirit, okay? All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Your girl is corny, but you like it, okay? And yes, this is Thanksgiving week, so it's Turkey Tuesday. Get information. And this sounds like a guy who hasn't ate the right turkey in his life. And we'll discuss that very soon. Now, college football playoff rankings come out tonight. I'm so excited because our college football analyst, yes, I'm talking to you, Junior, that's you, in about 10 minutes, we'll preview all of that coming up. Plus, Dabo with more sound bites coming out of Clemson. It's sort of like, I want to say the same thing Keyshawn said. Just chill, like just relax, just chill. You got another game coming up. But I guess the pressure is on, especially, you know, playing without Trevor Lawrence. And now, you know, the college football playoff rankings, everyone's tense. But
it's a stressful year for all of us, Jhené, right? Like you're sitting here attacking me about my preferences for turkey. And I know you wouldn't normally do that, but we're all a little stressed out right now. So everyone around here is lashing out and trying to make me the bad guy.
Yeah, it's fine. So we forgive you for all of your bad food takes. You usually are on point, but for some reason this week, like, you've been off, completely off.
We're going to figure it out. We're going to get to that here in a second, God willing, on this one. But we got to do some relationship counseling first.
Absolutely. The relationship, are you talking about Tom Brady and the Bucks and what they're dealing with, especially with coach and all those, you know, conversations that they're having, whether or not they actually are working? It's funny because life comes at you fast because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they really struggled, especially in the second half, as we all watched in glorious fashion. They took a loss 27-24, and we watched that final possession where finally we had that opportunity, Tom, with the time to drive and score the touchdown and all that type of stuff. But in this instance, it seems like time is undefeated. So there's some nuggets when it came to this game that sort of highlighted how big of a struggle, especially in that second half, it was for the Bucks. They struggled making explosive plays. They averaged 3.7 yards per play. Tom averaged just 4.5 yards per attempt. And then Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, Rojo, averaged 2.4 yards per carry. So this was a major, like, halt the brakes, major stagnation here. And now we sort of have seen, you know, like, the Saints take all the momentum, even with Taysom Hill there in the NFC South. So, Junior, I ask you, are you putting more blame on Brady or more so the situation? The context in 2020?
I think it's this, Jhené. I think when we look at this team, what we expected of them at the beginning of the season was probably reasonable and would be reasonable now, right? Like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a playoff team, full stop. They're going to be there. They're good, especially in this version of the NFC South and in a year where we've got an expanded playoff group. So all of those things, when we looked at the beginning of the season, I said, yeah, the Bucs will be a wild card team. The Saints should win the season. But then we had everything go on in the beginning of the season where, oh, man, now Leonard Fournette's cast off by the Jaguars, and he ends up in Tampa Bay. Wow, he's a name. We should probably start taking this more seriously. And then they bring in Antonio Brown for reasons people still can't quite fully understand. Just kidding. It's only about football here and nothing to do with any sort of redemption story. And so we have all that going, and we look at them strapping on weapons to this thing, and we go, well, all of those are names that we know in a place that we like with a quarterback that's the greatest of all time. Of course this should work, but we forgot about how difficult it is even for the best players, regardless of sport, to plug and play in a different situation and then to try and do it in the middle of a global pandemic, Jhené.
No, absolutely. And I think when we're thinking about, like, okay, for Tom, even though you're vaunted as one of the greatest ever, the greatest, the GOAT, it's still hard, especially at age 43, new talent around you, new system, and trying to just trust in that. And again, what did you say the stat was 1-3 in primetime so far this season? And so, like, with the eyes on you as well, it's not as easy or simple situation. I do think that this is, like, life comes at you fast in the sense that, you know, when you have synergy and when you have been in one place for 20 years, that's like, you know, it just is seamless. Everything is seamless. You know exactly what you're stepping into on game day. You know all of those situations. And so when you're new on a squad, even if you're one of the greatest, it is apt. It is more likely that you will struggle. It just seems, you know, funny that we're seeing struggles happen against these teams.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting part of this to consider that Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, longtime NFL quarterback who was on with us, brought up, which is this offense isn't doing much to help Tom or its weapons either. And we know Byron Leftwich has been there as an offensive coordinator. Certainly Bruce Arians is renowned for his offensive prowess, but these are the kind of things we were saying about Mike McCarthy at the end of the Green Bay Packers era, where you have an all-time great quarterback, But then you look around and say, all right, yeah, we know we got some dudes here, but this is the modern NFL. Look no further than across the sidelines at Sean McVay and what that Rams offense is able to do with comparatively way less at quarterback in Jared Goff, and all of a sudden it starts to get a little frustrating. And so Bruce Arians was asked, any thoughts that he might take over play calling? This is what he had to say.
Oh, no, I thought he called a good ball game. We got to execute better. When guys are open, we got to hit them, and we can't misread coverage. We got to protect a little bit better when we do have guys deep, and let him hit that guy instead of have that pressure that cost us an interception. As a collective, everybody's got to play better.
Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake. And you know what, Chinay? I think it's this. We can all agree. When you're starting something new and you're getting to a new place, you're hyper aware of everything, especially when you've been used to it one way for so long. Tom Brady, like, it's a little thing, but it's a big thing. Got used to having a group of running backs in New England that would catch everything, go out there and do it for him. His running backs right now have dropped 13 passes this season. Lead the NFL in that. Lead the NFL in percentage of dropped targets. Like, it's little things like that that are just going to bother you more and more as time goes along, your guy trying to get used to a new home.
I was so nervous every time Leonard Fournette dropped the ball. I was like, oh my gosh, not again. But, you know, I guess we found the verdict here because clearly the expectations, when you have an all-time great, it's like, oh, every year you can step into this talent and this situation and you can win a Super Bowl. But realistically, we all saw this as a playoff team, and that's sort of what they're shaking out to be through the highs and lows. But I have one more question for you about verdicts when it comes to Thanksgiving Tuesday, Turkey Tuesday week, and I want to do this in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So I wish I had the tape because Michael Jr. said that he is... Are you a big fan of turkey? You're like okay with turkey, but you say you prefer the white meat or, you know, the white meat instead of the dark meat. And you haven't tried the dark meat? What's the logic behind this tape?
All right. What I'm going to say is, for me... Turkey is a way secondary Thanksgiving meat. Like, I'm ham nation all the way when it comes to Thanksgiving. I would quite frankly petition for a different meat to be inserted altogether. But if I'm going to go and put turkey on my plate on Thanksgiving, it's probably going to be the white meat in that situation right now. I just want it there. It's checking a box, Chinay. It's another texture. It's another element on my plate that's going to work in conjunction with everything else. I'm not asking it to be a star. I'm asking it to go out there and be JaVale McGee.
Look, if you're actively seeking out non-dark meat, that means you haven't had the right one. And so we got to get you right. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Chinay, at Michael Golick Jr., at ESPN Radio. What meat is better? Because clearly, if you haven't tried, like, have you tried it? And did you just say, like, you don't like it?
Listen, I've had dark meat before. Again, I was 300 pounds for a long time, Chinay. If it's a meat product, I have stuffed it into my body somehow. I'm good on that front. Like, I've gotten that all taken care of. For me, it's a texture thing, right? Like, it's a very different texture in this situation. I'm a very textural eater.
So you like it more dry?
Like, listen, I'm saying in this
situation... And, like, have to drink water?
No, it's...
And listen, be hydrated as you eat the turkey?
Chinay, we're adults here.
Okay,
we all know what's at stake right now.
Okay.
Everything on the Thanksgiving plate should be covered in gravy. Every square inch of it.
If you're having to cover your meat in gravy, the meat is not doing it for you. Like, you're not eating the right meat.
So you're not coating everything on your plate in Thanksgiving in gravy?
No, because the food should actually be good enough that you don't need to put gravy on it. Like, no. you should be able to sprinkle it on your mashed potatoes and just a few things. You can mix things up, but if you need gravy to make your meat, bro, you need a new cook.
All right, first off, what I'm not going to tolerate is inadvertent slander of any of the cooking of any of the folks in my family right now.
No, I'm talking about you. I didn't know if this is, you said you cook for yourself.
Oh, yeah, no. See, now what? Don't tear a hamstring in that back pedal now, all right? First of all, second of all, there are very few times of year where it's appropriate to just be ignorant with gravy. Like, to go out here and do despicable things. Stuff you wouldn't want people seeing you do in the light normally with gravy. Thanksgiving is one of those days where we're allowed to get a little loose. We're allowed to get a little weird with it. I said yesterday, there's part of me, like, with certain gravies, if you get real good gravy... And I think Haley Burns, who works here at ESPN and Digital, said, you could soup that thing up where all of a sudden it could stand on its own a little bit. You can get weird. Drink out of the ladle. The world is your oyster. Thanksgiving is a time to experiment.
No.
Just not the night before.
Drinking gravy? No. I believe you have eaten great turkeys. I just think that you're missing out.
We're going to figure this out. At Chinay, at Mike Golick Jr. I have a feeling I'm going to lose this one again here, even though I don't know why you're all yelling at me. I'm right in this situation. Thanksgiving's not even about turkey.
You know what?
Open up your eyes, sheeple.
Your family's so smart. They're like, eat the white meat. Go ahead, Junior. We'll just keep the other parts. That's fine. You keep it.
We're focused on
all. They've been playing you, my friend. They've been playing you.
I don't like this. I feel very ganged up on right now. I'm a little freaked out. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to default to sticking back to sports right now because you guys want to slander me for my takes on meat, something that I know more than anyone in this room about. My body has earned the caloric intake to have these kind of takes, but you guys want to disrespect, that's fine. Coming up next, we'll get to someone else who's tired of tolerating disrespect and is apparently content to keep talking about it as the week goes on into another game. We'll get to that next. It's Chinay and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Gold Jr. with you. Now, I said it yesterday and you guys all shamed me. Okay, his food takes are bad and I might be a little corny, but I want to say it again just because it's so appropriate. Tiger Woods, y'all. Okay, now in a few minutes, we'll chat with the director of Tiger Woods, America's Son, that's streaming live on ESPN Plus this Sunday. Looking forward to it. Amazing director, Lauren Stoll. We'll talk to her soon. But, you know, before we get to the big picture here when it comes to college football, Junior, I want to hear from the breaking news that actually came from the Big Ten.
Yeah, so we got the news now that it appears that Wisconsin's upcoming game this weekend against Minnesota is going to be canceled. Now we know it's canceled again in the Big Ten and no runway they've got this year. Why that's especially significant or would have been had the results of this past weekend been a lot different is at this point in time, should nothing else change inside the Big Ten, Wisconsin would be below the minimum threshold required to be eligible to play in the Big Ten championship game by not playing this game. Now, Wisconsin lost to Northwestern this weekend, and Northwestern on the same side of the Big Ten as them in the Big Ten West. Looks like they're primed to go out, continue, and finish undefeated heading into that championship game. So this probably won't be relevant in the ways it would have had Wisconsin won, Chinay, but another reminder of what a lot of these teams have dealt with and what Wisconsin went through at the start of this season.
Does this make you feel better or sort of neutral about all of this happening?
Listen, it's disappointing. Like, you're sad for Wisconsin, and again, in a sea of voices around this subject that haven't always been coherent, Paul Chryst has been one of the coaches that kind of, for lack of a better term, gets it and understands their role in a lot of this and what they're up against. Albeit their program has certainly had its own difficulties with trying to keep this virus from being a part of its team story. And so you're disappointed for them, certainly, in a lot of this. But we've seen in college football, now we know what this is. They're going to get the best teams to the finish line right now. We've seen more postponements and cancellations in the last couple of weeks. And I think a lot of these programs are probably hopeful that as normal students on campus go home for winter break coming up here soon, that they're able to kind of recoup their efforts and kind of form the bubbles that they had during training camp.
Yeah, so competitive integrity pretty much is not necessarily completely jeopardized, especially with this news in the Big Ten. Now, I want to sort of switch over to the ACC because competitive integrity seems like has caused a lot of people to push their buttons. And I think we have to start clearly with Dabo Swinney, head coach of Clemson, because, you know, not too long ago, he was very articulate about being disappointed that their FSU game was canceled. You know, you go all the way there and then you also have this missing conundrum of how are you able to have a player board a flight and then test positive upon arriving. And now apparently he kept talking, right, Junior?
Yeah, no, Dabo is still pretty upset about this one here. He's a little bit spicy on this one, so why don't we let him be our representative this week for coming in hot.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Chinay and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And if anyone was unfamiliar with what Dabo said on Monday about this game being canceled, again, as Chinay mentioned, backup offensive lineman makes the trip, finds out he's positive, gets isolated. Florida State not comfortable playing the game in those circumstances. And this is what Dabo Swinney had to say Monday about the cancellation.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
So in the college football big bank take little bank situation where Clemson feels like they're the big dog on this one and Dabo doesn't want to feel like anyone is challenging what they've done in the protocols, that anger was something we dealt with on Monday. Then we get up today, and again, Dabo is asked about this, but instead of turning the page, he says, quote, "I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee. I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach for 12. They've had three head coaches in 4 years." Now, Chiney, I get he was asked about it. I get that this situation comes up, but I'm not sure why the head coach of a team that has a game again this week is finally going to get to be back out in the field in a way that frustrated them this weekend is still talking about this on Tuesday right now. It seems like one of those situations where you tell all your friends that you're over your ex, and yet you bring her up every chance you get.
Big facts. And you know what's funny? Hearing the first sound again, I was like, oh, you know, excuse. And also, this has nothing to do with the players. The players want to play. I'm like, clearly, because it's the medical experts that actually are making the decision, so you should understand. That, to me, is like, keep that same energy.
It is. And Chiney, in this situation, you see what this ended up becoming, which is, as often happens in college football, and I think sports in general, is coaches take most everything as a slight, right? Everything is a slight. Everything is fuel for winning. And in this instance, Dabo heard Florida State's not comfortable as, oh, they're being critical of our process. They're saying we didn't do the right things. When Mike Norvell never said that, no one from Florida State really said that in that instance. Again, as we talked about yesterday when we had David Hale on, ESPN college football reporter through the ACC, he said this was a situation where, because of the way the rules were set up by the ACC, everyone could kind of be right based on their own protocols.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, high emotions, this is the first night of the college football playoff rankings. And so, you know, considering college football, everyone's pressure's on for this moment. Can you sort of tell me what I need to expect with the rankings coming out later?
Yeah, a little what to watch for, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. The first round of the College Football Playoff Committee's rankings are coming out here. And here's what I'm looking at in this one, Chiney, in order. Clemson and Ohio State, where are they going to fall in the pecking order here? Has Ohio State played enough games for the committee to look and say, especially after a tight one against Indiana this weekend, that they're definitively better than a Clemson team who has the best loss? And a good loss is a thing that we hear talked about oftentimes on these shows. The next one I'm looking for, where do we get BYU and Cincinnati slotted in the situation? Cincinnati, the representative of the group of five with the highest ranking right now, looking to see if anyone can crash the party. And BYU, who is Zach Wilson's been great all year at quarterback, but they haven't played nobody yet. And it sounds like we are getting reports that they're apparently turning down matchups with the Pac-12. We know those situations are complicated. But where they rank is going to go a long way in telling us where these teams can ultimately end up. Then it's looking for where do Florida and Texas A&M rank relative to each other, because at this point, Texas A&M got blown out. They're not going to make the playoff. If you're blown out by more than 20, you don't make it. Florida's got a shot because they're going through the East and could win an SEC title in theory still. And then the last one is, what the hell does the committee say? Not where do they put necessarily, but what do they say about Oregon and the Pac-12 teams that could be in contention for this? Where they started in the season, we know the uphill battle this conference fights, Chiney. What the committee has to tell us so far about what they've seen in a big eye test year, going to be very, very important for this team.
Run it off real quick. Top four, hit me.
Top four tonight should be number one, Alabama, number two, Notre Dame. I think number three, Clemson, and number four, Ohio State. So that's where we're going to go. We'll see if we can find out what happens in that spot. But you mentioned a look back at the life and the impact of one of the all-time greats in the world of golf. How Tiger Woods has changed so much around the sport. We'll talk to someone who knows all about it after this word from AT&T.
Now, you guys, there's a lot of reasons to really, really like AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you are Usain Bolt in a 100-yard dash, then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're Steve Nash with the rock on the pick and roll, then you'll like AT&T 5G because guess what? It's secure. Or like I said, LeBron James or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who he had on the show today. Haven't missed a game in 17 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now guess what? It's nationwide, all around. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Yeah.
What?
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
keep that same energy in a few minutes, but right now it is showtime. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Penzo Performance Lines. And speaking of guests, we got a real heavy hitter here. And I said Sunday showtime because on ESPN Plus this Sunday, The Undefeated presents Tiger Woods, America's Son, this Sunday, the 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. The 1-hour documentary examines Tiger Woods' complex racial identity and the meaning of the golfer's success in America. Now, immediately following the debut, the documentary will be available on ESPN Plus, so make sure you sign up right now on ESPN Plus to check it out on Sunday. Now we head back to the Shell Penzola Performance Line to talk with my girl, Lauren Stowell, director of the documentary I'm talking about, Tiger Woods, America's Son. She has won 5 Emmys, like so impressive. And also, this is my homegirl because we got a project cooking. I don't think we can talk about it. But first, Lauren, thanks for joining us. No. I have a quick question because it's Thanksgiving week, okay? And we've had this debate all show long. Dark meat or white meat? Just help me, please.
Dark meat all the way. I'm sorry. The white meat gets dry. I can't do it. Nope.
I've been trying to say this in like a myriad of ways to Golic Jr., but I think he throws gravy all up on his
I'm getting meat. The message loud and clear at this point, Lauren, that I'm just wrong on this, and everyone has let me know it early and often. So thank you for joining the chorus of voices and reminding me of that.
And I love this, Lauren, because you've been working on so many great projects, one that we're collaborating on, but most notably this one on Sunday on ESPN Plus, Tiger Woods, America's Son. Now, there have been so many documentaries and features and stories on Tiger. What makes this doc unique, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes this unique is really the perspective and the lens that we're telling the story through and that we're viewing Tiger and his impact through. So, I mean, it's a portrait of Tiger through the lens of race, and how America viewed him and how he views himself. So I think in that respect, it's just a different take, a fresh kind of perspective. The genesis of the story really kind of centered around his win at Augusta National, you know, the Masters win in 1997, when he became the first black player to win a major. So we really explored the impact of that moment and what it means to black Americans and to people of color, which is something that I don't think I've seen done very often, when we look at Tiger's success.
No, Lauren, I think it's a great point because we hear it mentioned all the time, but I saw even in the preview for the documentary, it referenced the Dave Chappelle racial draft sketch where Tiger Woods was a part of that. But I think looking in that moment, we obviously all enjoyed, what Chappelle did with that sketch. But in looking at it in real life, how difficult was that sort of, I don't want to say issue with identity, but Tiger Woods dealing with his own notion of identity through the lens of race?
Yeah, I think Mike, you nailed it with the Chappelle skit. Was really, that was a nod to his comment on the Oprah show right after. I mean, it was 2 weeks after the Masters, he went on the Oprah show, on a national stage. And, when asked to describe himself, he described himself as Kablan Asian, which I think for, the 2 decades since he made that comment, it's been debated and contested. And just kind of the center of debate about identity and how you identify yourself. So, yeah, I think it was nuanced and very complex. I'm biracial, I'm multiracial. So I was able to kind of think about it in a way of how, I've experienced life and kind of what, my parents taught me and I identify, comfortably, and I'm proud to be a black woman. And it was, it was interesting to think about, if asked the question, how do you define yourself on a national stage? So that part of it, Mike, was really exciting and just kind of, fun to unravel.
Yes, it's here with Lauren Stowell, the director of Tiger Woods, America's Son, which airs Sunday on ESPN Plus at 7 Eastern. Check it out. She has won 5 Emmys, y'all, sports Emmys. She has. She's a boss. I'm going to pump you as much as I can. Thinking about what we normally know through ESPN documentaries, one of my favorite, obviously, The Last Dance. And we fell in love with a lot of the side characters. In this documentary, what will the characters look like?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different than I think what many people may expect. I spent a lot of time in Augusta, Georgia, and speaking to the retired caddies of Augusta National. You know, these are guys who grew up in the 50s and 60s caddying. You know, they watched Tiger when he was a kid on the Mike Douglas show. They, you know, they talked about him like he was their grandson, you know, but these are also men who were excluded from golf. I mean, it was 1961 that the Caucasian only clause was removed from the bylaws of the PGA of America. So, I mean, yeah, my mom was 14 in 1961. So not to blow up my mom, I'm sorry, but you know, it's really, it puts into perspective that this history is not, you know, it's fairly recent. And so the stories that they told and the perspective that they had on what Tiger's achievement meant to them personally, was really impactful. So you'll see characters like, you know, the caddies, Pete McDaniel is a longtime golf writer. He's, you know, a friend of Earl Woods and was a friend of Earl Woods. He's an incredible historian, and just offered really, fresh and just valuable perspective on the subject matter.
Now, Lauren, we don't have much time left, but I kind of want you to sort of describe to our audience, to our family, how we are family here at ESPN.
Shanae and I have spent many hours and hours and hours talking together about this project that we're very excited about, a WNBA documentary. I don't know how much I can say about it.
I think that's it.
But more to come, and I'm thrilled, Shanae. I'm thrilled to be, you know, working alongside you. I'm just, you know, I admire you, and I appreciate you both for having me on today.
Right back at you. I will have my popcorn ready Sunday, 7 Eastern. I got you, sis.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. We appreciate the time. Everybody, make sure you're checking out Tiger Woods, America's Son, when it airs this Sunday. Again, that's going to be available also right after on ESPN Plus, so make sure you check that out. And it's so fascinating, Chinay, to consider Tiger Woods in this way, because for so long, when a figure gets to the level that Tiger does, they're transcendent in a lot of ways, and it's all-encompassing. He was a child prodigy. He was someone that managed to live up to it all the way, like LeBron James, but the notion of how he personally identifies, how Black America identifies with Tiger Woods, I think is extremely compelling.
Yeah, I'm really excited because that is a unique aspect of this documentary, representation of what that has meant through Tiger's success. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
I am looking forward to watching it, but coming up next, I am looking forward to defending myself because you have dragged Lauren into this and everyone else around here into slandering my good name, and I put an end to it, and I got defense coming my way. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, y'all. If I could tell you what Mike Golic Jr. said in our show break, what he wants his Thanksgiving plate to look like, we'd probably all get fired. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogbuike and Mike Golic Jr. He didn't even hear me. Keep dancing. Keep body rolling. We have to show love to everyone that came through today on the show here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joined us. I still have to, like, sort of pitch myself.
Yeah, like, that was a real thing. He just came through the show like that.
Super smooth and all that. NBA all-time leading scorer. He talked about an all-time great. He talked about a future great in LeBron James and the Lakers, especially after they retooled. We had Richard Johnson, a SEC Network analyst, who took us in the room where the college football playoff is getting deliberated. And it's sort of strange because in COVID times, they're still all meeting in rooms. Like, you can do that on Zoom. Yeah, we can do that on Zoom. Also, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the hosts of NFL Live, he joined us. And I feel like he really needs a break because he was kind of stressed from Thanksgiving week, but I know he'll deliver. And he also told us a really good anecdote on Thanksgiving about suiting up and how much that means to football players, that opportunity, no matter where you are. And last but not least, my girl, Lauren Stowell, the director of Tiger Woods, America's Son, which is airing live on ESPN Plus, 7 Eastern. And she talked about Tiger Woods and, you know, his racial identity and how much that representation mattered. So check all those conversations that we had today on the Chinay and Golic Jr. podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. But you didn't hear me because you were body rolling. And I was laughing, and I basically said, if everyone could have heard how you want your Thanksgiving plate, like how you said it in the break, like, we'd probably get fired.
No, 100%. We need to stay far, far away from that comparison there. I say that as far away from the microphones as humanly possible around here. But safe to say, I have certain deeply held beliefs about Thanksgiving. It's a time of year that excites me, much like Dan Orlovsky told us that being a part of Thanksgiving week with the Lions and seeing celebrities like Tim Allen come down on the sidelines, excited for the Detroit Lions team.
Super question. Uh-huh. Who would that celebrity be for you Thanksgiving if you're playing on Thanksgiving Day? We have Christmas, which is fine, you know, in the basketball world. But if you're playing on Thanksgiving Day, what's the one celebrity you want to see?
You know what? I will tell you that when we keep that same energy right here, because I actually have the story that'll let you know exactly how I feel about this. Cliff! We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Who dat?
So, Chiney, it seems like perfect timing that we just got the announcement about a mere 10 hours ago from one Taylor Swift.
Oh.
That Folklore, the Long Pond Studio sessions, are going to come out at midnight Pacific, so 3 a.m. Eastern, on Disney Plus. If there was ever a reason, if you have not done this yet, Taylor's taking us behind the album that rocked the whole summer this year. Like, she gave us a classic during the middle of a pandemic, and she's putting that on Disney Plus. And Chiney, you mentioned the celebrity I would like to see down on the sideline at a game. Taylor Swift's younger brother actually attended Notre Dame. And so Taylor Swift, coming to visit her brother, actually attended a Notre Dame football practice when I was there.
What did you do?
In 2009. Jeanette, when I tell you you have never seen a team full of young adults more distracted going into this, everyone trying to compete because she waved over at the offensive line position group. There has been debate raging to this day of which one of us she was actually waving to. Technically, we can all lay claim. I think Eric Olson, our former center, would probably say she was waving at him. Golden Tate was late to our stretch lines because he went over to introduce himself. It was a remarkable scene, Chiney, and one that we will clearly never forget.
That is golden. I was just going to say someone like, for me, Meg Thee Stallion, play the song clip, body, yaddy, 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 body, yaddy. Let's go. But I don't know who would that be. I mean, I will say I've never really fangirled because, you know, moving around scenes, but I did get nervous when I saw Idris Elba at Crustaceans when I was eating in LA. This was before he got certified with his girl. I was like, oh, I can't talk.
You know what? Completely understand it. Idris Elba is a good looking man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of at games if I've played harder because someone's out there. I'm sure I have. That happens like so often. I get a lot of motivation from what I see.
We're all visual learners at times in this situation.
Golden Tate. Oh, man.
You know what? Golden, ever the showman in that instance there. Obviously happily married now.
Clearly.
Much in our younger days.
Turkey
here.
Time. Tuesday. Let's go.
All right. So keeping that same energy here on Chiney and Golic Jr., a debate exploded today because Dan Orlovsky hit the dismount with us on his segment and just walked away flippantly throwing out a turkey sucks. And I saw on the Dan Levitard show earlier they had a poll saying, is turkey an overrated Thanksgiving meat? And it, of course, devolved here into the white meat, dark meat.
What did they say? What did they say, though, on the poll? Did you see?
I didn't see the results of the poll. Okay. I'm assuming they said yes because turkey is an overrated meat when it comes to Thanksgiving.
No. Okay, like within the confines of Thanksgiving, what is it? Turkey and ham? And what other meats are out there?
I mean, that's another question for another day, quite frankly. I think we should replace turkey with prime rib.
Yeah, I agree for that. But for what we have, turkey is the best. I don't know why you go into the ham.
Ham is better than turkey on the Thanksgiving plate.
Childish Hambino, that is you.
That is true. Ham Newton, all the above in these instances. And Chiney, it works because ham works. Because everyone who tries to slander ham's name is just jealous that it brings more to the table than any of the turkey dishes out here, light or dark meat.
Okay. Look, I will say this. I was wrong to some degree in the sense that if I think that white meat isn't good, that's probably, you know, I've had good white meat. I just have had better dark meat consistently.
Listen, as Travis Bottles tweeted us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, apparently Chiney has never had a properly cooked turkey if her white meat is too dry. And also, drinking gravy all the way could work if we just rebrand it turkey bisque.
Okay.
So how about that?
Okay, my thing is, you can't have, like, why would I go to something that has a propensity to be drier when I can just go straight for dark meat?
Again,
like, you know that's a home run.
It's a textural thing in this instance, and I feel like not everyone is built for the texture of dark meat. It's a different part of this equation.
Textural? No, it's like, I don't know why you would actively seek that out when you have an option for, like, something that's less dry.
I'm just trying to help people live their truth in this instance, that you're trying too hard and we're prioritizing the wrong things if we're focusing this much on turkey as a portion of the plate. Focus on the stuffing. Get the mashed potatoes involved, the glue guy. Coat everything in gravy. Make it a gravy bloodbath on that thing. I don't even want to see the bottom of the plate on this one, Chiney.
I like the taste of my food with a hint of gravy. I don't want to overwhelm it like soup.
Listen, the Thanksgiving plate is a team. And Gravy's here to make sure everybody stays hydrated. That is the edict on Thanksgiving.
That's fair. I agree. It can hydrate your white meat, but dark is better. You don't need gravy for that. It's just icing on the cake.
We're gonna.
You
try
love
and
dark meat,
this.
Though. Come on now.
I love everything on my Thanksgiving plate. I love everything on the ESPN
Radio
lineup.
You love me, ELE,
lineup.
Baby.
I love Fain and Fitz. They're coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.